Hello, you're listening to Spoiler.
Build.
Film.
Conversation.
Hooray!
It's podcast time, guys. We're all here to talk and record our voices to form a podcast. Hooray.
Hooray!
So, if you haven't listened to the show before, welcome, welcome, take a seat. I'm sure there's one at the back there. It's crowded because we're so popular. I'm Richard Nicholas, hello. With me to chat about films is Anthony Evans.
Hello.
Abigail Bain.
Hi.
And Jamie Thomas.
Hello.
We pick one film that we've all watched. We have a chat about it. That is the podcast. Simple as that. The film this week was picked by Jamie and is...
The Last Samurai. The Last Samurai is from 2003. It's directed by Edward Zwick, written by John Logan. It stars Tom Cruise, Ken Watanabe, Billy Connolly. Who else would you say it stars? Like, it's got William Atherton, but he's in it for 3 seconds. But he's...
No, I think you've gone far enough.
Ghostbusters? Okay.
A bunch of stuntmen.
Yeah, lots of stunt people.
People in period costumes, predominantly.
Yeah. Oh, and Timothy Spall.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Is he in any other big films apart from Harry Potter?
He was in Turner recently.
What's that?
It's about the artist Turner. He plays
that person.
Okay. He's been in a lot of Tim Burton films recently.
Oh, he does some work. He gets his. He does a lot of TV, but he's in a fair few films. What's that one you like, Abby? About rockers or something?
Still Crazy.
Still Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, but Timothy Spall. He's a good one.
Yeah, definitely. Indeed. Particularly recommend Shooting the Past from his TV career. Very good.
So it's focused mainly on Tom Cruise, though, isn't it? It's very much a ego-stroking film for Tom Cruise. Not only is he the Civil War veteran, but he's an awesome samurai, and he's the only one left alive at the end. And he's barely alive, but he's left
alive.
One
of the things I like about this is it's one of those movies that was presumably come up with via tombola. Get various elements at random.
We've got Civil War veteran, goes to China, learns a life lesson. Or was it? Wait, was it Japan? My bad. Oh.
There's no samurai in China.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What a noob. What do China have then? I mean, it can't be the Japanese who have. They have geishas, they have sumos, they have ninjas, they have samurai. Like. All of these are Japanese, but not Chinese. What do the Chinese have? Emperors. That's about it.
Yep, I think it's Japan's for them too.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because Japan is a small, crazy island, and they just have all the weird things.
Yeah.
Much like most crazy islands do.
Yeah. Well, I did make the mistake of thinking it was China, which is it's sort of really racist, but at the same time... At the same time, it's the past. I wasn't there. How would I be able to tell the difference? And I don't speak Mandarin or Japanese, so they, you know, how am I to know?
They do kind of drop in the word Japan and Japanese a lot, though. Yeah.
There's also a lot of Japanese countryside and Japanese actors in the film. Lots of people speak in Japanese.
Kind of need to just edit me out for making that mistake now. Thanks, guys.
The clue is in the title of the film, really.
Yeah, but I don't know samurais were exclusively Japanese. Do Chinese people not have, like, ninjas either?
I think it's just Japan.
Seriously, what do the Chinese, like, have then?
Lots of people.
Communism and bicycles, that's about it. Well, I'm very sorry for getting them confused. I'll fess up. I had a weird copy that didn't have any subtitles for the Japanese that was being spoken as well, right? So there was a lot of guesswork.
Didn't it cue you in with, like, the way the houses looked and everybody wearing kimonos and, like...
That doesn't sound like China at all, does it? Japan and China are so different. What am I thinking? No, nothing... All that I was going on is, like, there's, you know, frowny faces means they're cross, and upset faces means someone has said something terrible. You know, like, all the bits that were not in English, I was guessing, and that was my job, not paying attention to the facts. Okay, so I had that. I had that. In my defense, I had a weird copy that didn't have subtitles.
The film was out to confuse you though, because it cast Billy Connolly as an Irishman.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like... This is another thing. Right. Billy Connolly is an Irishman in it, and for some reason, The Last Samurai is an American guy. That makes no sense. Are you saying samurais are American? Should I have not realised from that? Like,
maybe. I think there's a bit at the end where you're kind of like, is it Tom Cruise or is it Ken Watanabe's character?
According to the IMDb trivia, the idea was that The Last Samurai is plural. It means all of them that he's fighting with. They are the last samurai.
It should be Last of the Samurai then, shouldn't it? Really?
The Last Load of Samurai. Well,
because samurai are like sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let them hear you say that.
In the sense that they are the singular and the plural.
Mm.
No, I want to harp on this Billy Connolly point. Why would you take a Scottish man, one of the most famous Scottish men, and for no reason that has any bearing on the story, make him Irish?
This is an American film, and to them, they're kind of the same.
So not only do I make the mistake, but American, you're now accusing all of Americans as not telling the difference between the Irish and the Scottish.
This is a Hollywood film that brushes a lot of kind of Japanese history with very broad strokes.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that might just fall into the other things, like Scottish and Irish people also.
Yeah,
and his name is Zebulon, which isn't particularly Irish or Scottish, anyway.
Abby, do you have a theory that you want to put to us why Billy Connolly was cast as a race he isn't?
I don't have a theory as to why he was cast. It probably is just, you know, casual racism. But what I liked is that he didn't try to be Irish at any point.
Well, he pretended he did. I mean, he did an accent that wasn't his own.
He said the words that he was required to say.
Top of the morning, etc.
That he particularly tried hard at the accent.
Right.
I think it's because he realised he was only in the film for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he wasn't around
for
long.
I was so disappointed when they just killed him off immediately.
And he disobeyed orders. If he'd have listened, he would have been in the rest of the film, presumably. Okay, let's put all race confusion aside, let's just put the Billy Connolly thing was like Americans doing the whole Sean Connery thing where, he can play Spanish, Egyptian, Irish, we don't care. Like, we'll let him have his Scottish accent while he does it as well. It was that kind of thing. And I made my mistake. I'm sorry I got the Chinese and Japanese confused. I feel a little disappointed in myself, but it happened. And now I know. So, moving on. We should have really talked about our expectations, because that usually is important to know, because sometimes you like a film and dislike a film based on what you expect in going in. It's a very crucial thing that all review type things should mention, I think. And we just got straight into the business of the film and none of us aired our prejudices. Jamie, why did you...
You did.
No, but my prejudices... weren't about the film. They were about my ignorance as to whether samurais, ninjas, and swords and stuff, you know, happened in China. Apparently China just quietly picked rice and did nothing of interest.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to take that back.
Rich, give me the shovel. Give me the shovel.
Never mind my race prejudices. I made mistakes, okay? I just want to know about your film prejudices and why did you give us this film to watch, Jamie?
I just like Tom Cruise. I don't quite know why, but
I've been clean for 10 years.
I find him really engaging, and I think it's because everything he's in, he throws himself into it like 110%. Doesn't matter what it is, he like commits to every role. Unfortunately, that also means he does it in real life with certain things he shouldn't. But I find him really watchable, even if what he's in is terrible, because he's just so into it. It's like watching a little boy play with action figures and get really absorbed.
I agree with you to a certain extent, because I think Tom Cruise gets a lot of hate, and I don't really see it myself. I've always thought he's a very competent kind of actor.
Yeah, you're right, he does.
He does kind of throw himself into the things that he does.
He's become a little bit too embedded in, like, action movies.
Yeah.
In his later career. But, like, earlier when he was doing, you know, dramatic stuff like Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July, like, he's great in all of that stuff. And in a lot of the action movies, he's a perfectly decent action hero. It's just sometimes, like, in this, it's maybe a little bit, like, self-serious. Or sometimes it's kind of misguided, like in something like Jack Reacher, where I'm not really sure what's going on. But I think it's just his commitment and his enthusiasm to every film he's in.
Okay. Abby, do you want to come out as a Tom Cruise fan as well?
Well, my thing with Tom Cruise is how well I get on with his movies depends entirely on how much he's been cast, with them counting on you finding him attractive and that's somehow a plot. Because he's not an ugly man by any means, but I don't particularly find him attractive. So whenever I watch a movie where it's just supposed to be, I'm supposed to fall in love with him and just accept this, and I... No.
Well,
whereas something like, say, Collateral, for example, that I really like him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Collateral. I like Rain Man as well. And I would agree, actually, that he's not a terrible actor. It's just I think he's in, like, some very divisive films. Like, some of the films he chooses to do are really action-heavy and silly, you know, self-serving. The hero, I'm the hero and I'm going to be the best. And it's kind of a bit vacuous. And then but he has some interesting films he's in. And in those, he's really good. I think he's quite good at playing dislikable characters. Like, in Rain Man, he's dislikable.
Yeah.
Is it Magnolia, where he's a horrible...
Yeah, self-help.
Yeah.
And he's really good at that, because there's something correct about disliking Tom Cruise that I think
works. Would like to see him, at this point in his career, play more villains, like he did in Collateral. Because, yeah, he did that very, very well. That's one of his best films.
And Tropic Thunder, he does a good cameo villain in that. And that's quite a departure from the usual stuff. So I think he's... And he's even kind of dislikable in Top Gun, which is kind of a movie that's meant to, you know, laud him as a hero. But he's, you know, he's meant to be a kind of meathead.
He's cocky and he's arrogant and, yeah.
So I think that's the key to Tom Cruise, is to realise you're meant to dislike him sometimes. Although you're not really meant to think that in this film. In The Last Samurai, you're kind of meant to think, isn't he amazing all of the time?
I don't know, kind of, because it starts out he's, like, ruined, alcoholic, ex-soldier who, like, can't cope anymore. And I think one of the problems I had with that film is the complete transition from, like, broken down alcoholic ex-soldier to superhero is a little bit too broad.
Yeah.
Like, becoming a samurai repairs all of the damage.
He just seems to be drunk because he hasn't had a fun war for a while. And now that he's in war, he's happy again and he's found himself.
Yeah.
Before we go on, Abby... Anthony, do you have any things you'd like to add to expectations? You've said a bit about Tom Cruise, but was there anything about this film you were, like, hoping for or expecting? I guess, Anthony, you go first.
I thought it looked maybe a bit stuffy, and then it does, even though I like Tom Cruise, if he is attached to a film, there's a certain kind of, like, broad expectation that you put on it. That it's going to be very kind of westernized. And that's kind of what I was kind of thinking. Like, it was going to be too westernized and more focused on America and him, even though it's about samurai, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was coming in expecting. And also noticing that it's like 2.5 hours long. That's a very long film.
Yeah. It is. You know, Western culture through American eyes as well. I mean, it's essentially the story of the one. Like, how will we find out about samurais? We'll do it via one white guy. That's how we'll relate to it. So it's a bit. It is a bit like it delivered a little bit of what you expected, I think. But Abby, what any thoughts before we obviously are happy to talk about it without getting into expectations, but we should do it.
Well, for the purposes of marketing, they did suggest that Tom Cruise was the last samurai in question, and that it would be quite heavily about him specifically. And that made me slightly suspicious, if I'm honest. It's like, however they're going to shoehorn you into being a samurai is going to be wrong, was what I thought.
Also, if it is implying, which is up for debate, that he is the last samurai, it's like, oh, trust the one white guy comes along and ruins it for everyone. He's the last samurai because he couldn't do it right. They all quit after that. But no, it might mean also like they were the last of the samurai because essentially it's about a conflict between the army of the Emperor of Japan. See, I got it right this time. And the samurai who are also on his side, but somehow, he's fighting his own army that want to keep the traditional ways alive, but he doesn't like that, so he'd rather shoot them with cannons.
It's battling against that kind of encroaching modernization of the East. Which, you know, was a legitimate thing. Like, it is with any culture, like, Western influence on other countries and, like, that kind of slow, almost forced progress.
Yeah, it's like it's the battle of progress versus tradition, isn't it?
Yeah. I will say though, what you just said sounds like a really interesting film. The idea of the last samurai, Tom Cruise coming in and ruining it so thoroughly that they all quit after that.
they all essentially did give their own lives in battle. So, but it wasn't.
I know.
Wasn't
I just like the idea of them going, "Oh, this guy's so rubbish. I don't want to be a samurai anymore."
Yeah, it's almost like if he came along, became a samurai, and got loads of glory and made loads of Americans love the idea of samurai, but he was rubbish and they all hated him for it. It would just be an interesting film to do that as well. But for the most part, he, you know, slowly earns the respect of these samurai. Actually, we should go back to the start. You were starting to talk about how it's a ridiculous transition from drunken ex-veteran...
It's ridiculous. It's that when he becomes the samurai, it almost becomes like a messiah thing. Like they lay that on at the end a little bit too thick.
Yes.
And I think I like all the build up stuff. Like I liked his character when he was a mess, and I liked his like they lock him in they take him up into the village after they've captured him in battle, and they lock him in a room and they don't give him any alcohol, and he's an alcoholic, so he goes through withdrawal. And like I liked his whole like coming clean, like he was in rehab and having to kind of wander around the village and not understand what anyone's saying to him, so he's just talking to himself most of the time.
Some of the funniest scenes were when Tom Cruise, not being able to understand them, just spoke English to them and made up what they were saying occasionally. I thought that was quite funny.
All that stuff was really good, but I think his character showed a lot of character in those scenes. Like he was kind of sarky and he was a bit arrogant again, but he kind of he loses that, which makes sense in the story. Like he should become a better person, but he loses too much of it, and he ends up becoming almost like a blank slate hero.
So where does the problem really kick in for you?
I think it's once he actually becomes officially a samurai towards the end. Like he loses that kind of swagger, which I think the film would have it makes sense from a storytelling point of view, but that I think the film would have benefited. It would have been more entertaining if he'd been the same person, having learned things instead of transforming into like
noble samurai now.
Yeah. Especially because the film is 2.5 hours long, and it feels every minute of 2.5 hours long. There were times when I was checking my watch as I was watching it.
Well, it's a big narrative, because you have to go from, we've got this drunken ex-vet, he's just doing stage shows for audiences to sell like guns for like Winchester or whatever it was. Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know why he started, you know, being violently shooting into the audience and kind of scaring them. But that's to establish he doesn't care anymore, I guess. And he has to go from being commissioned to go to teach the Japanese Emperor's armies the new Western, like how to use guns, basically, and how to have American training. And then he has to go into, then he has to fight samurai. He has to lose Billy Connolly, who's his friend, and convinced him to come on the journey. He's then captive. He gets over his alcoholism. He lives with the wife of the bloke he killed to prove that he was hard in the woods. And then he has to begrudgingly learn to become a samurai, then get into it, then prove himself by fighting ninjas. Then he's given back to the Westerners. Then, like, it's all about the betrayal of the samurai. He rescues the leader. He has to go straight. And then he decides to go back and help the samurai fight in the war against the Emperor's army. And then he has to die. And then he has to present the sword to the Emperor. Like, it's just, there's so much.
Yeah. I think, it would have been fine with all of that and the whole running time if he hadn't kind of lost a lot of his personality as the film went on. Like, I think that's part of what makes it feel so long.
I see what you're saying. But I think it's more if... I felt a kind of a bitter taste in my mouth when they didn't kill him at the end.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was setting up for that, for this character to die, and they just couldn't do it because it's Tom Cruise. Like, I don't want to say, like, he's had a hand in it and he's saying, like, I can't die. Yeah. But they did try and handle it in a way that suggests that maybe he died.
But probably not.
Yeah, but it didn't ring true right at the end. Yeah, it just felt like a bit of a letdown.
Because that is, like, what he needed as well. Like, the whole film, there's several instances where he deliberately tries to get himself killed early in the film because he can't, he wants to die, but he can't do it himself, which is an interesting contrast to the whole, is it seppuku, when a samurai kills themselves because they're dishonored?
Harakiri, like, you see them. I would call it, but I don't know the difference between Chinese and Japanese, so who knows if I know.
It's harakiri or it's seppuku. Anyway, it's deliberate suicide. Yeah, you've been dishonored, so you're like, you kill yourself. And you see, like, the samurai do that, and that's what Ken Watanabe's character, like, wants. And there's a nice thing of, like, Tom Cruise goes from wanting to kill himself just because, like, he's a wreck, not because of honor, to convincing Ken Watanabe's character that, like, no, you need to, like, prove yourself first. You can't die because you're dishonored. You have to die like a hero if that's what you want.
I always thought at that point where Tom Cruise has earned the respect of these samurai and he's trying to convince them what's best to do, he should have gone, well, if the old traditions mean so much, maybe run away, go into hiding, and then pass on the teachings, because you're not passing on anything if you're all just dead on a battlefield.
Well, they were being hunted down, though, weren't they? Like, the army were trying to find where their village was.
Yeah, but a samurai must be equipped to hide away and be secret. I guess that's not their point. But I don't know, from the perspective of, well, for historical reasons, you want to pass on the teachings of samurai. Dead people don't. Like, so what? How can you? How could you survive? No, it's kind of like, it's a self-defeating thing where it's like you can't win either way. Either the only thing that could work is you convince the emperor that he needs to still trust the samurai. And it seemed like the samurai were just like, well, we're not going to, we don't like guns, so never guns. So it was like the samurai would have to still today be able to, like, fight off like drone ships and things. I don't know. I don't know what they were planning for the future.
I think Anthony's right, though, that, like,
he should have died.
His death, especially when Ken Watanabe's character dies on the battlefield, like, kills himself. Yeah. Finally, now that he's actually achieved what he wanted to.
Yeah.
Had they both died together, and him killing himself and then Tom Cruise's character dying of his wounds, that would have made perfect sense for the story.
Plus, they got machine gunned down. They're just surviving being machine gunned. Like, everyone on the battlefield but Tom Cruise died. Well, like, survived, like 50 Cent, riddled with bullets.
Yeah.
Still fine.
And, like, why? Why? Yeah. What?
Abby, you had some problems. Also with the ambiguity of whether he lived or not after he presented the sword, Abby.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. He looked pretty mashed up on the battlefield. And then I'm not sure how much time passes between that and him being dressed and offering the sword.
I didn't understand that either.
Because if it's a fair while, then he obviously lived. If it's not very long, then he was really good at fronting out being mostly holes.
I think the idea was it was supposed to be almost like immediately after the battle, and he'd gone straight to the Emperor. Because then Timothy Spall's character says in the epilogue that some people say he died of his wounds.
Well, that's one of the ambiguous. That's one of the bits I maybe mistook, because I took it to mean Timothy Spall likes to think that Tom Cruise lived happily ever after with that widow woman on a lovely farm and stayed a samurai on his own, the only white guy being a samurai. Like he lived happily ever after as a recluse in Japan, right?
It's just...
But he presumably did die because he got machine gunned. It's
the film having its cake and eating it.
It's Timothy Spall having his fantasy and then writing an awesome book about it.
But like, it gives Timothy Spall the fantasy in a way to have Tom Cruise's character kind of live at the end and not just go whole hog and like, because it had this potential to be really sad too, because it's got the burgeoning relationship between Tom Cruise and the kid of the guy he killed in battle. And how they form this kind of unlikely bond, and then the kid gets like distant because he's afraid that Tom Cruise is going to die. And then, so if he does at the end, there's this whole like, I just wanted to tell the film, just be sad.
It's okay. You know, sad. It's a sad idea anyway.
Yeah, already sad. Gladiator's sad, you know, and that's what this film is trying to be.
He should have been like, touching the barley and dying in the field or something.
There's a heavy, like, this is part of the whole. Renewal of the epic that came after Gladiator in the early 2000s. You had this, you had Gladiator, then you had Lord of the Rings, then you had this.
Mm. Well, to come away from like the story of Tom Cruise's character, let's talk a bit about some of the sequences, because it is a high budget action movie. With lots of extras and stuntmen and costumes. I mean, it's a very lavish production, and there's some really like different and exciting war scenes. Yeah. Like whether it's the inexperienced Japanese army taking on the samurai, or whether it's a ninja attack at the samurai headquarters and stuff. What did you guys think of some of that stuff?
It's a really good looking film. Like, yeah. It's just amazing to look at.
And you I was just going to say, you can't help but, kind of see the obvious kind of parallel between, like, the way they kind of speak about the art of kind of samurai. And then kind of, you kind of feel like some of that philosophy might have been applied to the film by the filmmaker, by just attention to detail and the very just the beautiful shots that it captures.
Apparently, as odd as it sounds, considering how westernized and starring Tom Cruise and everything it is, it did really well in Japan just because of the attention to detail and the attempts at historical accuracy.
Plus, it's a weird one. You don't usually get in lots of the like traditional samurai films. It's like swords versus swords. And it's all like quite ancient, whereas this was the most contemporary story you could tell, and they actually fought guns, and it almost seems like incorrect for those two parts of history to cross over.
Yeah, I like the way it does the clash between modernity and tradition.
Yeah, and essentially we're still dealing with guns that aren't very accurate and are very hard to get, get these guys trained and accurate on them. I mean, one of the ridiculous Hollywood moments that kind of I thought was terrible was when Tom Cruise at his suicidal stage to prove that the Japanese aren't ready to use the guns and fight samurai, he stands in front of the target range and tells the guy to shoot him in the head to make him do it, he fires off like warning shots at that guy, just making him more nervous. And it's just like, how is anyone not just arresting Tom Cruise for just firing at everyone and being insane?
His point was like, I don't want to do this. You don't want me to do this. I'm just completely mental.
But best case scenario in that, they kill him and they are ready.
Yeah.
The Emperor goes, oh, tidy. Or rather, yeah. The Emperor's guys are like, oh, no, he was wrong. You guys seem pretty good at shooting. You killed him straight away. Shows him for being smug.
The end.
Yeah.
Although, talking about it's as contemporary a story as it could be, there was just always just a niggling feeling in the back of my mind about the history going on. Like just some things just didn't feel right. They just seemed very Hollywood stamped on it. Like one thing that got me a lot was just all the interactions that people were having with the Japanese emperor, and it just doesn't seem right.
Abby, wasn't one of your bits that you quite liked was when Timothy Spall was instructing everyone? Do you want to elaborate on that bit?
My favourite moment in the whole movie was when Timothy Spall said, and step back, and step back, and step back,
yeah,
and turn.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some very Hollywood moments, but then, you know, you kind of...
But that's fine. It didn't ruin it for me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I was kind of expecting it to at the beginning before seeing the film at all.
Yeah,
it just worked. It was enough.
There were these weird, slightly awkward tension moments where the important guys in the American army were interacting with the top, you know, top brass in the emperor's kind of government, and it was. The generally speaking, Westerners would be fairly confident and not respectful, but then they'd also know not to mess around in front of the emperor. But then the emperor is a young man and is very impressionable. And I like the fact that he kind of grew a American style goatee beard, with a sort of what kind of look is that? It's like a moustache with a little extra bit on the chin. What is that one?
That's
the musketeer, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a musketeerish. It was very popular in that era with the American soldiers, and I liked that he grew that, but he was kind of pathetic looking as well.
Yeah,
and he was clearly controlled as well by his older government, you know, posse. Not controlled, but he was young and impressionable.
Well, no, because the guy, his right hand man, turns out to be his. I don't know what the cinematic equivalent would be, kind of like Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings, I guess. He's like the little devil on his shoulder who's trying to take control from him. Because he's trying to set up the whole...
He was advocating the deals with the Americans and getting more weapons and, you know,
and
not caring
about
the samurai.
The great moment at the end where the Emperor turns on him.
Yeah.
And he says, I was going to say something so Welsh then, you're shaming me. and then he offers him the sword and says, well, you know, if you're disgraced, here's a sword.
I did like the face that guy pulled, because it was like, I'm the war. Like, it was so... He had good reactions, actually. The cast of the sort of government people were all, because I was without subtitles, I found myself... being able to read what they were meaning and saying without...
That says a lot for what I think already. I don't think there's a single bad performance in the film.
No.
I think everybody's really, really good, especially, and we haven't talked about him yet, but Ken Watanabe.
Billy Connolly's the only one who doesn't nail his accent, but you can't hate Billy Connolly. He's charming.
No, how could you ever dislike Billy Connolly?
Yeah, just I don't know why they couldn't have said he was Scottish and we would have had no problems.
Yeah, but we haven't mentioned Ken Watanabe yet.
Yeah,
as the lead of the samurai, but
we will, because my connection, as I think is yours as well, guys, is he is the chairman from a film we've discussed previously. My Beautiful Lawn Geisha, I was going to say then. I couldn't remember. my Beautiful Laundrette. No, that's not it. What is it? My Geisha. No.
Memoirs.
Thank you. Yes, Memoirs of a Geisha, we've previously discussed. And he is the chairman that the main geisha in that wants to impress. And there's a whole thing with slush puppies that we latched onto. And it was nice to get our slush puppy vending chairman back, but in the new role of cool samurai who respects Tom Cruise. Oh, he's so mean.
If I remember right, from the trivia, this was Ken Watanabe's first English-speaking role.
Does all right, didn't he?
Yeah. That's
another thing that was weird is, why does the head samurai know English? That's so weird. Like, he's this really traditional guy.
He's fascinated by, like, the impression I got was that he's fascinated by Western culture, particularly in relation to war, which is why he takes Tom Cruise kind of prisoner, but treats him decently, because he wants to talk to him. He wants to know everything about the way they do battle, as opposed to the way he does.
Yeah, I could totally buy that a samurai would be interested in the art of war, and the art of war from another country. I mean, that makes perfect sense. But the fact that he was so good at English, which is handy for the film, because we understand him, but, I mean, you'd think Tom Cruise would have barely anyone to speak to in a, like, samurai camp.
I was just going to say, you knew he was a little bit crackers because he liked General Custer.
Oh, that was like a big film. They're constantly drawing parallels to kind of how America kind of treated the Native Americans as well, which is always kind of, actually, America, thinking about it, they don't come off very well in this film, surprisingly.
That was one of the things that surprised me, is that it isn't, even though it is this story from a very American perspective, it's not like pro-American. It's not like completely anti-American. Like, it doesn't go that, like, you know, screw you, Dad, kind of thing about it. But, like, it paints them as neutral, but having done some bad things.
Mm.
Yeah, it says the old ways and the traditional Japanese ways are to be respected and understood, and that, you know, people who think the way of the gun and progress is going to... Like, it kind of has a go at American arrogance, which I think is very, you know, good of it, because it could have been, you know, it could have been bigging itself up as well as, you know, because it could very easily make out that America is amazing by coming over and culturing Japan, but it doesn't. It's about celebrating Japanese culture, which is good.
Yeah, I wasn't, I guess one of my expectations was that it was going to be more about, like, yeah, America teaching the samurai, which I was surprised that it wasn't, particularly with Tom Cruise as the lead.
Yeah, Last Samurai, where the Americans wipe out all the samurai, killing them with their awesome cannons, machine guns, and bayonets. They'll teach you. But no, it was quite a spectacle, and it did wrestle with some interesting ideas of warfare. In fact, it's a very, very manly movie generally. There's like one woman in it.
Yeah.
And, how did you feel about how manly it was? Because you're our only lady here to, you know, give your thoughts. So what do you think about its manliness?
Well, it was weird in the sense of, in the battles, I didn't expect women. It would have been weird for women to be there, and it would have been about the woman warrior, not the last samurai.
Yeah.
But even in the village, there was a real sort of vacuum of women.
Well, there's pretty much one woman with a speaking part in the whole film.
Yeah.
And all she does is, like, be timid and apologetic about the fact that Tom Cruise killed her husband.
And then she's, like, you know, making food.
And now she's looking after him, yeah.
And I didn't mind so much in the sense of, it's about warriors, and at that time, warriors were men. So yeah. I didn't expect to see a lot of women actively. But it was a bit weird that they weren't even around just generally.
Yeah, it would be very infrequent you'd see them also, you know, they occasionally put on like a theatre performance. And I guess the male samurais are doing the pantomime or whatever they're up to. But they are there, but they're very... There's literally, really, only one talking female role. And it is that of a timid character, but then... That's kind of the tradition, isn't it? It's from a period of time when women, especially in, you know, samurai culture, they're, you know, women know their place, sort of thing, and they are homemakers and they work hard, but they do exactly what the man says, and they have to be, you know, they come, you know, second to men in every aspect of life. And it's a very sexist world. And that's just how it was, though. You can't go, well, she's the cool Mulan of housewives.
Yeah.
Can you?
You're making a very different film if you try doing something like that, which is, you know, which could be fine, but is not this film.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be realistic. So but I at guess the same time,
you are freezing out a huge proportion of potential viewers.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I did think, like, the storyline between her and Cruz was very interesting. It's a kind of a very different perspective that you've kind of not seen before, where it's kind of, how do you deal with, like, the person who's ruined your life, essentially, and living with them constantly? Yeah, it's kind of their relationship is another reason why I feel like Cruz kind of needed to die at the end.
Yeah.
Because there were hints at, like, the romantic thing between them, but it never got too, like, kind of in your face.
It would have been really weird if they'd have just done it before battle. Whereas the best thing he gets is she puts on his coat and it's a bit flirtatious that she prepares him to wear his gear. And
I admire the restraint of the film.
Mm. And that's kind of why I feel like the ending's a bit of a slap in the face, where he kind of goes back to her and has the kind of weird happy ending with some wife of a guy he killed.
I think what was key to us buying that could happen is, I mean, she A, would have to do as she's told and look after this guy, but the children helped, because the children were young enough to not, you know, they obviously must have liked their father. We don't know what the father was like, because we only saw him on the battlefield and he got killed to establish that Tom Cruise was well-armed and isn't going to take it lying down. He's got a big stick. He can fight loads of samurai with a big stick. He doesn't need his gun or his horse. He's going to twirl it around. And then just when you think he's going to die, stab, 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 you're dead. But what I was trying to say was, the kids were young enough to be like, we like this weird new guy. He's basically, oh, this freaky white guy here who doesn't speak. Oh my goodness, we can teach him things because he knows nothing. So they, like, enjoyed him being at their table eventually. And I think that helps buy that the woman could come round to enjoying him as a prisoner, I guess.
Yeah.
There was that wonderful moment where Tom Cruise was doing some fake martial arts on his own once he'd put on the... What's that
thing?
I thought it was one step back from a kimono.
Ooh.
But you know what I mean. When he's first put on the sort of...
Yeah, and he looks all kind of awkward and, like, he doesn't want anyone to see him wearing it.
He just wants to do Bruce Lee voices and, like, do kicks and stuff.
And the kid finds him. And you're not quite sure how this is going to go, because on the one hand, the kid might teach him, on the other hand, he might laugh at him. But instead, he just goes for the, yeah, I'm going to bow at you now, and we'll pretend that this didn't happen.
Yeah. And there were these, you know, interesting pieces of drama in amongst some tremendous battle sequences where it's all, you know, bells, whistles, flags, swords, horses. So I appreciated taking the time out between battles to do some proper drama. But it does add up to a big old film by the end. And I think, for me, it crossed the line where, oh, spring is here, and Tom Cruise has learned some stuff and proved himself and has become a bit of a samurai while being a prisoner. But they're going to hand him back over now because the Westerners think, well, we just want our prisoner back, I guess. Thanks.
It's like the film went, we haven't had any plot for a while, so...
Let's spend the time travelling back, and then we'll have some more talking. And then it has to, like... And it's like, okay, now that Tom Cruise is back, he now has to go back and join the samurai again to have the fight. Like, it just, oh, can we, I don't know. It could have, I don't know what it would have, should have done. But,
It's kind of like a, okay, I know where you're going with this. You need to, like, hurry up and get there, because there's not, like, at this point in the film, there's not enough surprising things going on to justify the running time.
Hmm. And I think then we had a lot of scenes where Tom Cruise had to put up with being offered things he didn't want, like being said, oh, we're going to pay you to basically fight these guys who've been imprisoned. Like, they're seeing it from, well, you've been imprisoned by them, you must still hate them. Yeah. And Tom Cruise is like, no, secretly, I love them now. I think they're great. They're better than us. And they're all like, oh, you're not so thrilled there, Tom. No, that's fine. No big problem. Send the books after him. He's clearly backing out of this. I don't like it. He's been too friendly with the samurai. And it's all, like, you know, spies and assassination attempts. And then it's a rescue attempt. Flaming arrows and prison breakouts. It's like, you could do with less, really, of this stuff.
This is the point where it starts kind of dragging, yeah.
Yeah, because it's too heavily loaded at either end. Like, there's a lot of slow burn drama, which you get really into. And then suddenly there's a lot of action. And, like, there's not enough of a balance between them. Like, it would have been nicer if they were cut in between each other, because the pacing kind of suffers.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it could have been the story of the one white Western bloke learning to be a samurai. And that could have been it, in a sense. And then maybe he fights in a battle. But, you know, the film decides we have to have more scenes where Tom Cruise takes centre stage and just does stuff like, okay, I've rescued the head samurai and all the other samurai have turned up as well. Some of the other samurai have turned up and we're all going to fight some more. And now Tom Cruise will watch one guy, I think it might have been the son of it, of the head samurai, what was it? Who took loads of arrows and gave up his life to free his dad or whatever. And then Tom Cruise has to mug in the film then and be like, I'm watching him while everyone else runs away. Remembering this bit. It's like, does there have to be Tom Cruise doing that? Could it not have been one of the other samurai going, oh, they killed him. All the cops
Could it not have
him.
Been his father?
Yeah. No, Tom Cruise is this hero. He must stay and watch this stuff so he can learn how cool and noble samurais are. But, you know, aside from complaining about how much it gave and occasionally how cheesy it was, I think it overall was quite an enjoyable film.
I agree. I never felt like, apart from the bit we just mentioned, I never felt like it kind of dragged. I was just really pleased how character-driven the whole thing was and how it all kind of hinged on that. It really kind of took you deep into like Tom Cruise's kind of psyche at points and the kind of problems that he has and the things that are tearing him in both ways. But like not just him, even like Ken Watanabe's character.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really liked his whole relationship with the Emperor and the little through line he has about honor and having to serve the Emperor, even if he doesn't agree with what he's doing.
Yeah, and I was just surprised for just kind of like a sweeping kind of war epic film that it is. Character driven it was.
It's very. I felt like it was very old school.
Mm.
Like it was a very old fashioned epic. Like in the way it approached everything, and also in the way it felt like I watched it for 7 hours on a Sunday afternoon.
It's true.
It just had that feeling about it, and it
Also, it seems to be taking kind of hints from kind of early Japanese cinema, which was always kind of very slow-placed, quiet, beautiful-looking cinema.
Well, one scene I think stands out for me as a good example of that kind of thing, and it's before Tom Cruise has redone anything in the camp to sort of suggest he's interested in being a samurai. But he is, I think he's like playing with, there's some kids fighting with sticks and he's like, oh, I'm a cool army guy. I can play with these kids a bit, play stick fight. And they have a little fight and then one of the samurai comes and is annoyed with his kids and is like, oh, playing with our kids, is it? Ah, we'll see if you're any good at fighting. And then he absolutely, brutally beats him up. And then, of course, Tom Cruise has to try and get up every time and prove himself. And it's like, and then suddenly this samurai seems like, oh, he's the villain now because he's kind of beating Tom Cruise instead of respecting him for struggling on against like being absolutely, you know, beaten up by this guy. And it's just, it's raining, it's muddy, and it's that I'm an American, I'm going to get up and fight kind of Rocky attitude that I thought
it had one of my like that. That character is one of my favorite action and epic movie tropes, where you've got the guy who hates the hero, and then as it goes on, they become friends, and then the guy who hated him dies, and it's like, no.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It's been done so many times, but every time it just sucks me in.
But it was just such a good visual as well, because it was rain and mud. It was a nice contrast. And they have lots of scenes, really, where there's tension between some of the side, like all these guys where you go, oh, it's the guy with slightly less hair, he's got sideburns, that samurai's feels this way. Like, the like it's that thing where you don't really know who they are as a character, but they look a certain way, they behave a certain way, and it adds a three-dimensional nature to the group of them.
That was another thing that the film did a good job of, is the samurai weren't this, like, just faceless mass. They all had, even the bit characters, they made them look so individual, and they gave them enough personality that you could, like, identify certain ones as, like, because they don't really, well,
grumpy,
they don't really name
hair.
Them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they like, don't name them, but yeah.
It's like a game, it's like Seven Samurai in many ways, because it's very hard to remember them all, like, by name, but you can remember them all by their behaviour and how they look.
Yeah.
And what we like to do, Abby, correct me if I'm wrong, is we like to make up, like, nicknames for them all so we can remember who they are based on their first introduction, whether they're, like, sweaty or have big flares on their trousers or whatever. Am I right, Abby?
Yes, although we've covered the nicknames didn't really present themselves until a bit later on because they were all in armour and at work.
Yeah.
Like, the guy whose hair got cut, I eventually started calling Top Knot.
Burnsy. I think one of them had burns.
Burnsy.
Yeah. Mud guy.
Good sideburns, too.
He did, too. Yeah.
And for no reason at all, in my own head, I decided that that older samurai who was escorting around the camp towards the start, I just decided to call him Norman.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise gave him a nickname. He was Bob.
How is it, yeah. Bob?
Yes. And it was so... It sounds ridiculous, but that relationship, as brief as like it was actually shown them, like Tom Cruise talking at him, when Bob takes a bullet for him at the end of the film, I was properly invested in that.
Bob,
agreed. No. The only thing that was missing was, because Tom Cruise just goes, no, the only thing that was missing was him going, Bob!
That would have been good. Yeah. No, not Starburns. No, what's he doing here? So we all are cautiously in favour of it. We all thought it was good, but we're still not going to let it get away with all that big Hollywood stuff because we're big cynics. Like, how do we all like it at least? I mean, you know, I think we did.
I did, but it felt so long that I think it would take a lot for me to want to watch it again.
Sure.
Like, I came away from it wanting to have really, really liked it. But it was kind of... It was hard work just to get through so much.
Sure.
And, like, it was... I'm not one who, you know, doesn't like slow burn films, but it was a little bit too slow.
Yeah, if it had been like a TV series, it would have been okay. You wouldn't feel that need to, well, I'd have to watch this again sometime. But with a film, it's like, well, if it's good, I want to watch it again. But, you know, it kind of crossed that time frame where...
I need to set aside time to watch it.
Watch it in bits. It's not quite that long, but it is like, it's getting to the point where, you know...
It feels it. There are longer films that feel shorter than this one.
Sure. Abby, Anthony, one of you guys wanna? I guess we're on final thoughts, so we just take it turns to say the last of what we think, and then does anyone have a rating idea in mind?
We kind of did the kind of typical kind of Japanese symbols for the Memoirs of a Geisha, so maybe something more related to samurai,
or
Tom Cruise, who knows?
Oh, Tom Cruise, that's an interesting idea.
What Tom Cruise haircut is it? I don't know. No, don't use that. He's only had two, like crew cut and then that weird thing he had in Mission Impossible 2.
And this kind of...
When his hair's long and it's also not at the same time.
Medium length and short length. Or weird, like, grey or balding occasionally, which I've seen. Abby, do you want to say your final thoughts? Maybe think of a rating to set us up?
Well, I pretty much agree with everyone else in that sense. The problem with the movie was its length over anything else. If it had just... I don't even think any one thing in particular needs to go. They just need to take out little minutes here and there across it.
I did want to add as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else was going to say it. I think it had little bits of it, but it needed a little bit more levity somewhere.
Sure.
like just a little bit of, like it was a little bit too self-serious at times, and I think that might be part of why it felt so long.
And then when the one bit where they were all watching a little play with masks on and having a, like a bit of a laugh, ninjas turn up and have to be dispatched in as many cool ways as possible. They had all the ninja weapons, though. I was pleased they like had ninja stars, then weird like claws on rope. They had everything going. It was good.
Yeah.
Anthony, sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, I see what you mean. Sorry, that's what I was going to say.
Sorry. So, Abby. Rating, anything?
It's a tough one, this one. Where it's sort of... Remember in Kill Bill when he's talking about how many times that sword was folded and that's why it makes it amazing?
Mm.
That was one of those elements that I accept that that makes the sword excellent and I accept that that is a hallmark of quality. But at the same time, it means nothing to me. And it's a bit like that where, because this film is so long, I understand that it's immersing you in and it's giving you a really full-bodied experience of a film. But I also, it would just be kinder to my body and my soul if it was a bit shorter.
So you're saying they may have took a lot of time and care to make this, craft this sword, but you can still stab someone with a regular sword that didn't take so long and it'll be ready quicker and they'd be dead sooner. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is.
I think that's actually a pretty good rating system, and I'm going to agree with the same thing. It's that ornate, intricately made and folded, like one of those ornamental katanas that like looks amazing and is so well made, but like, yeah, one of your, you know, lesser ones would still do the job.
Yeah. But then this one has been lovingly inscribed with a message like Tom Cruise one, which I think his message was, white guys are cool too, hey! Like, or whatever it was. Something like that.
Just, yeah, I don't know. I wish it had been shorter and maybe a bit less serious and that Tom Cruise's character had actually died at the end.
Sure. And it is a sword as well. So you're going with Abby's one as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with the sword one.
Okay, Anthony, other than it was too long, which we have said now, and, you know, any other things you thought about the film?
I think I was just surprised how in-depth the whole thing was and how character-driven the whole thing was and how it wasn't so westernized, and that kind of took me by surprise. So I kind of think I ended up liking this film a lot. I can see that you guys might think it was a bit long. I think it was just as long as it needed to be. Mm. I didn't really kind of feel my attention waning at any point. And I don't know, I think I have a bit more experience with kind of films about Japan and Japanese films. And this kind of just fitted the mold quite well. With the slow pace and slow and kind of quiet feel and kind of very beautiful and attention to detail, that I kind of just accepted it a bit more, perhaps, than you guys did.
I will qualify what I said, actually, that part of my experience is that Rich and I have very few comfortable chairs at our disposal.
Yeah.
So that always makes it harder for me to watch a long film.
Indeed. I understand. But no, again, the same I've said before, I thought it got very kind of sentimental at the end, and it kind of lost its meaning because of that. Mm. And you're kind of left kind of stranded at the end, kind of going, oh, well, I don't really know how to feel. But no, I really kind of enjoyed it more than I was expecting.
And yeah, I agree with that.
I kind of see what Abby's saying, but it's... It's a kind of the opposite approach that I have, where it's kind of, you see something from a distance and it's like, oh, well, it's a sword. Like, but then you get closer and then you kind of see all these surprising details and then you have a bit more respect for it. So it's the same thing, but kind of coming from the opposite kind of way.
Yeah. Actually appreciating the detail instead of being heathens like us and just going, ah, it should be shorter. I want it to be more like a music video.
I like the idea that the whole moral of the film is, well, the well-crafted sword is better than the quickly produced gun. And some of us are like, well, maybe a quickly produced sword. And I'm like, maybe it's just a gun. Maybe I haven't learned that. No, the guns won, didn't they? I'm pretty sure all the samurai were machine gunned down and didn't even come close to winning. I'm going to go with a gun. You know, like I didn't feel that way. I did enjoy the film myself. I actually, there's nothing I would take out because everything in it. There was no bit where I thought, well, that's kind of boring. Like all the bits are good. Occasionally, when there's two Japanese people talking to each other, and I'm like, what's she saying to him?
That's only because your person didn't have subtitles. Yeah, everyone else is it.
It's true. It's true. But yeah, I the only thing I didn't really like about it was. It's sometimes really like filmic and cheesy, and it's very like Tom Cruise is this amazing hero, and he just is, and that's it. That's all you need to know. Like, and he is cool, and here's some ridiculous bits that are over the top. Like, it was a little bit just the times where he's being like just hamming up a scene or doing something ridiculous, like standing in front of the guys while they're supposed to shoot him, and it's just, oh, grow up. Like, I can't, I'm too cynical for that kind of Hollywood, I guess. So that was
I'm the same. I see where you're coming from, but I think like they could very easily have been more of that, and I think they kind of kept as much as that as out of it as they could.
It did it was better than I maybe thought. I didn't have that many like thoughts on whether Tom Cruise would. Like, I was worried he was going to be a Last of the Mohicans kind of thing, which I did not like, despite its critical acclaim. I found that a very boring and stupid film. And slightly more annoying that, a white guy was supposedly playing, like, a Native American, even though... I did not enjoy Last of the Mohicans, and I very much enjoyed Last of the Samurai. But there were some things that kind of, oh, right then, it is that one of those films. Whereas, like, a samurai film made by, like, Kurosawa, who is, like, the master of Japanese cinema, as far as I'm concerned, his are always, like, tremendous. I really, really love the characters, even the bad guys. It's just such a, like, it's such a hard thing to do better. The only thing it has really is its colour and budget. And even then, like, Kurosawa had a decent budget in his time. So Kurosawa...
I know what this needed to make you like it. It's men who are dirty from travelling, taking harbour in the rain. That's what you wanted.
Maybe that's why I liked that raining scene, because it was dirty men fighting in the rain. I don't know. Like, so, it's as samurai films go, it's enjoyable, but it's not going to be Kurosawa level of samurai film. The Hollywoodness was a bit more... annoying to me, but it still had some cool stuff. It had ninjas. That's it. Tick. I enjoyed it. Ninjas and samurai and Civil War army guys fighting. That's like three fighty war ticks. Although, the whole film made me go, war is so stupid. No one is correct. The samurai are wrong. The army is wrong. The emperor is wrong. Everyone just fighting wars. You're idiots. There's no point killing each other. I feel sorry for the farmers and the peasants because I am a lovely, peace-loving socialist. So the whole thing was redundant. That's what I'm saying. It is a stupid sword. The sword or the gun, they're both wrong. You don't need either. Everyone should just get along in peace. It should be chopsticks for eating and having fun, not swords. It was a sword and I don't like swords.
Okay.
Good or bad, I don't care. No, I don't know. It was a good sword, but swords are wrong. That's all I can think. I don't know. Is that it now?
I think you killed it dead there.
You did. That was one of the longest, most tortured final thoughts you've ever done.
Thank you. I mean, anyway, I feel stupid for thinking that the Japanese are Chinese when it's so obvious they, you know, I mean, it was duh. But I have been watching a lot of, like, programs about set in China and Mongolia. And so whenever there's emperors who are usually bad guys, I'm like, oh, well, they're obviously Chinese. And I did the same thing with this for some reason. I just dismissed it that emperors are always Chinese and they're always evil. That's what films and TV tell me.
They've taught me that emperors are always in space and evil. So I was even more confused watching this.
Yeah, when they're going to get in a rocket and on their weird space cycles. Anyway, we should say goodbye and end the podcast, right?
Indeed.
Yes. So, goodbye.
Bye.
Quick, someone do Abby.
Sayonara.
Bye. Yeah, good.